invite you to turn with me this morning to Philippians chapter 1. Paul's letter to the Philippians chapter 1. Paul's in prison as he writes this letter. He's writing to a church that he was very fond of, probably his favorite church. And that's one of the reasons I chose this letter to preach out of for my last sermon this morning. And in a sense, it's kind of a farewell letter for Paul. He's in prison. He hopes to get back to see the Philippians again, but he also knows that his life might be nearing its end. And so these are words of farewell. Not just Paul's, but mine as well. And so as we read this, I could read any portion of this. It's a joyful letter. As we read earlier, rejoice in the Lord always seems to be a theme throughout this letter. It's a letter of joy because of Paul's relationship with them. As I read this, it is about our relationship as well. First 11 verses, no sermon outline. You're just going to have to listen to me with no distractions this morning. Philippians 1, the first 11 verses. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints of Christ Jesus in Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel in Webster, New York, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Fourteen and a half years ago, I began my ministry here preaching from this very same passage. It was a sermon entitled Looking Ahead in Partnership. Today we look back. It's fitting, after 14 and a half years, to reflect on where we've been as well as where God will take us in the future. This time separately, but using the same passage. As Paul writes in prison to his favorite church, he looks back with thanksgiving, but he also looks ahead in prayer. And I want to do that with you this morning for a few minutes. Paul begins with prayers of thanksgiving for the Philippians. Prayers of joyful thanks are a hallmark of all of Paul's letters. But this one's the most affectionate. He thanks them and God for two reasons. He thanks them first for their partnership in the gospel, and then he thanks God that they were all together partners with God. First, he prays and thanks them for their partnership in the gospel. The word partnership in the Greek is koinonia. Maybe one of the words you know from the Greek. It's a word that was used to describe the early church quite often. It literally means having things in common. But the word is often translated, most often translated in the Bible, fellowship. It's a fitting word for this church. And it was a fitting word for the New Testament church. They were bound together as a community of love and sharing and bearing each other's burdens. And Paul's thankful that they included him in his short time there. But he's also thankful that they were partners in the gospel, in the ministry. Because Paul realized that the ministry of the church was not just his. The whole church shared together, each contributing what they could. And so Paul says, thank you for partnering with me in that. Fellowship Christian Reformed Church has been a community of loving and sharing and bearing each other's burdens since the early 1960s as a worshiping community, and over 40 years as an organized church body. My family and I have been here 14 and a half years, a long time as far as pastors go, the longest here at this church. And yet, just a section, just a chunk, just a small section on the timeline of Fellowship Church. And so we thank you for including us in your koinonia. Fellowship Church was here long before we came. It's going to go into the future long after we leave. Thank you for welcoming us into your hearts and into your family for this short time. But thank you also for the partnership and ministry that we've had. It's easy to let the pastor do everything, and if you do, it usually little gets done and pastors get burnt out. But you've shared the ministry. You've contributed what you could in your ministry and your spiritual gifts and talents and service. And I thank you for that. But Paul also thanks God because he knows that they were partners with God as well. When Paul says, he who began a good work in you, even though Paul was there at the outset, he's not talking about himself. He's talking about God. He knows who began the good work in them. And that's the ultimate reason for Paul's joy and thanksgiving. It's why he says thank you not only to them, but to God. He saw God active in their lives. And he knew with confidence that even as God had brought about this good work, that he is the one that started them down the road of being a church body, that he would just as surely lead them into the future and continue and fulfill that good work he had in mind for them. What is God's good work? Well, it's many things. It's the work God does for us, our salvation. It's the work God does in us, our sanctification, our spiritual growth. It's even the work God does through us, our service in the community. All of that is ultimately from God. And he who began that good work promises he will carry it on to completion until Jesus returns. And I thank God that I've seen the same thing here, that God is at work in you. It's so obvious in so many ways. I've seen it in your spiritual growth as well as mine. Not just growth towards salvation, but growth in the Christian faith. You know, we weren't put here just to get to the point of being saved and then wait around for heaven. God put us here to make a difference in this world. God put us here to continue to grow. And I've seen that. I've seen that in the Sunday school classes and Bible studies. I've seen that in small groups and family night programs. It's been evident in the lives of the people that have passed through these church doors, through these past 14 and a half years, and we've seen it in our youth, evidenced by 36 professions of faith during that time. Hopefully you've grown, even as I have grown over the years, in understanding what it means to be a disciple of Rabbi Jesus, what it means to grow in discipleship for him. There's also been a growth in talents here. I'm always amazed at the talents that Fellowship Church, where churches are begging for accompanists, we have so many. During the past 14 and a half years, two praise teams have been established. And it's always amazing, especially the praise team that the Alpha team that's playing today, which is basically a youth-based team. We always wonder, as the youth graduate and go off to college or off to jobs, where are we going to get the next folks that come in? And God always raises them up. So God is faithful there in growing you in your talents. There are so many great leaders and teachers and servants in this church. So many people here qualified for leadership. I mean, I've seen councils in other churches struggle and have to come up with short slates for elders and deacons. They just can't get the people. It's not been a problem here. We have so many qualified. And I thank God for that, for your growth and talents. I thank God for the physical growth. Physical growth happens in a lot of different ways. Since 1960, Fellowship Church has grown from a campus ministry exclusively, which I think was called back then Geneva Forum, to a worshiping congregation. It's grown from a house on Stewart Avenue to a church building to expansions and renovations through the years, even some during these past 14 and a half years that have enlarged and beautified the church. We've seen it as people have grown up, got married, joined our church, left our church. We've seen it in births, baptisms, 31 baptisms that I counted while I've been here. Births, there are a few new babies here already, and there are some more on the way. More to look forward to. So just a constant growth in the church in a variety of ways physically. There's also been a growth in vision, and this is one of the most exciting things to me. A number of years ago, we adopted the brief vision statement, growing disciples into disciple makers. And there was a real intention behind that. We recognized that to be a church in a transient college town means to take the opportunity we have, every opportunity we have, to help people grow spiritually, even if we have them for only a short time. Maybe 2 years or 4 years in college, or maybe 10 years in the church and then they move back to their own community or move on someplace else. And so we have to take the opportunity to help train them as disciples, even though maybe another church down the road in the future is going to get the fruit of the labor, but we look at it with a kingdom perspective. That we are all God's church with a capital C. And so we do our part training people, and as they leave, we bid them farewell and know that they're going to make an impact somewhere in God's kingdom, and we trust that other churches are doing the same thing, and as people come in here, that we have people that are growing. Now, growing not just to be disciples, it's one thing to grow in our faith in Jesus to the point where we follow Him as a rabbi. But that's not where Jesus wanted His disciples to stop. We get that in the Great Commission, where Jesus said to them, "Now you go and make disciples." And so we grow from disciples into disciple makers. We grow from being disciples of Jesus, which never stops, to being able to start making disciples for Jesus. And I've seen that happen here as well, and I thank God for that, and will be exciting for me to see what Fellowship Church does in this area into the future. Now, with all this said, we have to be careful not to take too much credit ourselves. I'm reminded of the story of the elephant and the flea. You know, the elephant was trudging through the jungle, all the trees were shaking, the ground was shaking. Finally, they come to a jungle bridge, and there's a flea riding on the ear of one of the ears of the elephant, and as the elephant lumbers across the bridge, it's shaking and it's swaying, and he finally gets to the other side, and the flea looks back and said, "Boy, didn't we shake that bridge?" Well, we're partners with God. He's the one that does the bridge shaking. We just go along for the ride. And it's my confident prayer that God will continue to shake bridges, that He will continue to work in and through you and me for the completion of our salvation, that He will continue to work in this church for the completion of His vision for Fellowship Church, and that He will continue to work in us all for the continued establishment of the kingdom of God in this world until one day we all meet again in eternity. And so we start looking ahead as well. And Paul does that as well. From this vantage point of his partnership with the Philippians and theirs with God, he looks ahead into the future. Where will they go from here? Paul's in prison. He's probably not going to be a part of their future. And as we now part ways, like Paul, I want to pray for you as he did for the Philippians, and for the future of Fellowship Church. And as Paul always said in his letters, and I want your prayers too, I do too. I covet your prayers for our future life and ministry in Webster, New York. And so Paul prays, as I do. In particular, Paul's focus is on spiritual growth. He prays that they might grow in their love for God and for each other, that they might increase in the knowledge of God, that they might increase in their wisdom in facing life, that they might increase in discernment in their decision making, and that they might grow in a purity and fruitfulness in their lifestyle. And I want to pray for your spiritual growth as well, that you, as individuals and as a church, will grow in your love for God and for each other. During a vacancy, it's sometimes kind of hard. People get on each other's nerves. There's disagreements over what the future will hold. I pray that you will grow in your love for God, and out of that, you will grow in your love for each other. I pray that you will continue to want to grow in knowledge of God and His Word. This is your textbook for life. Cherish it. Read it. Grow through it. My prayer for you is that you grow in wisdom, particularly, but not exclusively, for the task of calling a new pastor, that God will give you wisdom in that. I pray for growth in discernment as you face unknown decisions in the future. And I pray that you will grow in purity and in fruitfulness that will enhance God's reputation in Big Rapids, that His name would be more known through you. Would you pray the same for me? But then Paul prays us all for one express purpose, to the glory and praise of God. He prays this so that they might fulfill their God-given task of bringing glory to Him, the purpose for which we were created. And so I pray for Fellowship Church that you may glorify God in all that you do, that as a church you might be a shining light of faith, hope, and love in Big Rapids and surrounding communities, that each of your homes may be mission stations out of which you share God's Word and love in your neighborhood, your jobs, and your schools, and that you would do this all for the glory and praise of God. Would you pray that for me as well, for the Webster Church? Notice that Paul addresses this letter to all the saints. That's all of us, too. Saints, not perfect. That's not what saint means. Saint means set apart for God. So for all these folks who are set apart for God, every one of you is included as a partner with each other and with God. And as you continue your adventure together as a church, I give thanks to God for His faithfulness in partnership with us through these past 14 and a half years, and for your partnership with my family. And I pray that you will continue to grow as partners with God and each other as you face the future, build His church, and bring glory to His name. Trusting confidently in this fact that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Would you join me in prayer? And I'm going to pray the prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians in Ephesians 1 and 3. Let's pray. God of our Lord Jesus Christ, glorious Father, I pray that you may give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. I pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. I pray that out of your glorious riches, you may strengthen us with power through your Spirit in our inner beings, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that we, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we